Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. This is the Racers Roundtable, where drivers, crews, race fans, race officials, and even the bum off the street can come and talk about racing. I am your host tonight, Mr. Justin Griffiths, and alongside me is the always positive, the very handsome, the one, the only, Mr. JJ Nunn. How you doing, JJ?
Oh, absolutely fantastic. Once I get my ears back after that.
I don't control the board.
You control your voice, don't you? I think everybody is in agreement here. As we
that microphone's
that
not this loud.
Off. Aye, aye, aye. Do yourself a favor. Don't ever become a spotter. Your voice would be louder than 20 cars on the track.
The motor?
Yeah. That's for sure. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. And behind the boards tonight, the man always on a mission, Mr. Perfect, Mr. Gary Wyatt.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, I missed that one.
Hey, are you not Mr. Perfect and Pahrump right now?
Yes, I am. How you guys doing?
I'm doing amazing.
Aye, aye, aye. Even our guests got a laugh out of that.
Yeah.
See? My intro was right. You hear this?
Yes,
it's a positive
it
over here.
Yes, it was.
Wasn't there a wrestler named Mr. Perfect?
Dude Perfect.
Yeah, a sumo wrestler, right? A sumo wrestler.
Hey, that's the truth.
The great Kabuki.
Was it better than last week, though?
Huh?
Was my intro better than last week?
I got to pat you on the back already.
He spent all 7 days writing this thing, you know.
And memorizing it?
Oh, no, it's on his phone over there.
I just
wrote
it earlier today. So.
This is what he does at work.
I believe.
Hey, I work on ACs, I mean.
And that's and that's a struggle for him.
What, the
that's
work part?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Well, introduce our guest, Mr. Justin Griffith.
Yes.
We have a great show in store for you today. In studios, we have the world famous Mr. Thane Alderman. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing tonight?
And alongside him is somebody that I grew up watching and idolizing.
Okay, hold on. Just remember, it's our superhero.
I called him a living legend.
Oh, it's a superhero.
You watched him, but you didn't learn anything, did you?
The living legend, Mr. Mark Allison. How are you guys today?
Good, good. Always fun to hang out with Thane.
That'll say something. There's trouble headed in this show.
Yeah, well, Thane came in early tonight. And then when Mark came in, Mark's scratching his head and says to Thane, "What do I do with this car?" And Thane says, "I have not a clue."
Can't help him.
And talking about, obviously, your modified Mark.
Yeah.
The 515.
It's been a struggle with that car. It's smarter than I am, to say the least.
Rubber, metal, and bolts. Smarter than the superhero himself. You're still chasing it. We had you in at the beginning of the year and figured you'd have it sorted out.
So did we.
Yeah.
It's been a handful. I've driven conventional cars all of my life, and bump stop car. We started out with bump stops on all four wheels. We're down to bumped on the front only now, but we have literally had a different setup for every Lucas race, and it's just been a struggle for me. Learning to drive that type of car and learning how the setup is, it really is. Throw everything you know about circle track racing out and start over again.
Because we came up, Gary and I came up and saw you at RMR. Rocky Mountain Raceway, and it seemed like you were getting somewhere with it, and you had told us you're underpowered, you're a minus motor, and before the show, you had mentioned you got the motor. You're still chasing setup.
Yeah, we the only motor I had that ran was a 350 out of my dirt modified.
Right.
Which was probably 150 to 200 horsepower less than everyone
else. Out there, yeah.
Some tracks that didn't hurt me. But some tracks it was like Kern and Irwindale was horrible. I mean, we just got beat bad. And we got our new motor, and that isn't an issue at all now. Motor's not the problem. It's the handling part of it.
The power's there. It's just making it turn.
Yeah. It doesn't want to. It's got a mind of its own.
Dane, you also conventional setup. Hate bump stops.
They're very frustrating.
They are. That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
Not a big fan of them.
Not at all. How long did you run them?
Like 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And chased after the car. And was that in, where was that? Was that in the Rocky Mountain Raceway series?
Toward the end
in the
of
late
our,
model?
Yeah. Run them super late. And then ran them at Tucson, ran them at Kern, wherever I ran. But now I have one in the left front. That's it. And that seems to be a little bit more friendly.
Earlier you spoke about just losing the feel of the car, running conventional setups and losing the feel of the car. Can it describe that a little bit more?
He just experienced it. So.
Yeah. With a conventional car, first off, you can manipulate the car. With a bump stop car, once it sets on them bump stops, which is early on your turn entry, you don't feel anything in the steering wheel like you do with a conventional car. You do, but it's different. It's kind of the same feel all the way through the corner.
You don't feel a roll, or you don't.
It doesn't roll.
It just like it's locked up.
It's a go kart.
Like, yeah,
it's a go kart.
Yeah, a go kart. You can see the tires, like a IndyCar and a Formula One car.
Right, they, open wheel, yeah.
Yeah, they tend to have that same feel because they have very little travel. They run extremely stiff. You've seen IndyCars, they kind of even bounce in Formula One cars. They can see the tires. They can see it push. They don't need to feel it. They can see it.
Plus, they have aerodynamics to help them.
Right.
Yeah, we can't see the thing. It just doesn't want to turn. And until the front just washes out real bad, I know, okay, it's pushing now. Or until you go in and you're chasing the tail of the car up. It's different. I'm sure these younger kids that grew up driving go-karts.
Right.
That
come through the ranks. Yeah.
Yeah, that probably feels fine to them.
Well, even Bandoleros. Bandoleros don't have front suspension.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they're stiff.
Yeah. So it's probably similar.
Yeah, that's what they grew up driving. Me and Thane grew up driving cars with that moving suspension.
A lot.
Yeah, you feel different.
It goes up and down and left and right.
And rolls over. Now they don't roll over.
Not at all. And this is, I mean, how long have bump stops been around now?
I don't know, 10 years probably. The biggest problem is the tires. They're not made out of rubber no more. They're made out of synthetic rubber.
Okay.
And so to get them to work, you have to punish them. And we used to punish them back in 04, 05, we used to punish them with shocks.
Right.
And then people figured out you could punish them with springs and bump stops and rubbers and, you know, anything else. Whatever you could do to punish them to make them work.
That's it. Take them out, practice, load them up with air and beat the hell out of them and then drop the pressures down and hope you stick. Pretty much. Air pressures, I guess you've worked with those, you know, trying to figure out the bump stop. And you had mentioned, you know, just 3/4 of an inch.
In a bump stop car, a half an inch will kill you, probably a quarter. But the bump stops make the tire become the spring. So tire pressure's not just affecting the size, it affects the spring rate of the tire, which is very significant now that you're on the bump stops. It's part of the coil spring keeps the car off the bump stop for a given period of time as you're making a lap around the track. Then it gets on the bump stops. The harder it gets on the bump stops, the more load it transfers to the tires. So if you get too hard on the bump stops, you travel too much load to the tire, transfer too much to the tire, and they, like Thane said, they get abused and they get greasy if you get them too hot or overwork. So it's a balance. It's a fine balance of not overworking them or not getting enough out of them.
Down to a half inch and down to a quarter pound of air pressure.
Down to an eighth inch.
Eighth inch.
Yeah.
They got bump stops.
An eighth inch spring packer, a packer they call them. They go in there. You change in an eighth of an inch and you can change the handling of the car. It's very frustrating.
And I guess you've, Mark, dealt with all those. I mean, you guys got tons of experience, you and Thane, messing with an eighth inch. And it just turns car into pushing, into tight, just a matter of an eighth inch.
They're, once you get them right, we've had our car real close a few times, and they're fast. They turn good. But my experience with them, they don't race well. You find like a premier line. This is where this car really feels good. This is where it wants to go. Well, if you're racing somebody and they're in that line and you try to move out of it to pass them, it's very difficult. They seem to be a one groove car. Where a conventional car, you can change your, you know, when you brake, where you turn, you know, you can manipulate the car when it's conventional, get it to work.
And point it where you want to go with it.
Yeah. Conventional cars, you have to drive it. You have to get up on the wheel and make it go where you want. The bump stop car, you have to get it set up where it wants to do everything for you. You just kind of guide it around there.
Well, it takes a lot of out of the experience of driving.
Yeah, they're different.
Do you foresee yourself running again next year in the series? I mean, this was your first year, rookie in Lucas Oil Modified. So we had touch base, I think, last year.
Yeah.
When you were putting the car together.
Here, this last race at Vegas, Scheidecker asked me if we were going to run next year. And I told him I was kind of undecided because the people that are running State Line Speedway in Idaho, they were so happy that we came up there and left the car, the late model up there, and raced with them all year.
Right.
There was a few races that conflicted with the Lucas that I couldn't go up there.
Right.
And they were like, man, you got to come race all year with us. I'm like, oh, you don't know how hard it is to commit to that. But it was really fun because we took the car up there early in the year and dropped it. They had a shop where we could at the track. They had some rental cars there, so they had all the equipment. They let me keep it there because we needed the truck and trailer back down here to haul the Lucas car
modified. Yeah.
So I could fly up there for about $120 round trip.
Nice.
2 hour flight, no big deal. I was happy. My friends up there would pick me up, and I'd stay at my friend's house up there and. We'd go race thing on practice on Friday night, race on Saturday night, fly home on Sunday. So it was a lot of fun. And Idaho in the summertime, a heat wave to them was 80 degrees.
Wow.
To die. Yeah, I was like,
you don't
man,
have to worry,
great.
Don't have to worry too much about keeping the car cool.
Oh, no, perfect, not up there.
Perfect weather.
Thane's actually raced at that track and won on it.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
State Line.
It's a nice place. It was hot, though, when we were up there, but. It's most of the time it's pretty, a beautiful country. Coeur d'Alene is, it's you get up there, you don't want to leave. You'd rather stay up there than stay down here.
Except for the winter.
Well, yeah, I don't want to be up there in the wintertime. No, unless I have my snowmobile to take with me.
So, change lanes. Thane, what did you play with this year? I don't know.
I only ran twice.
Last year we had
so
you
far,
in?
So far, yeah.
Last year.
I've been helping Jim Wolfenstein on his stuff. So pretty much ran Kern. We ran Kern six times in a late model.
In a late model, yeah.
Yeah, we converted a super late into a late model. They kind of opened the rules up a little bit. They're still penalizing the super late a little too much, in my opinion. But they say they're going to lax up on that a little bit. But we ran down there, and then we ran the tour race down there, Southwest Tour Race at Kern with the other car, with the tour car. So, a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
How'd you make up?
We finished 15th or 16th. So on the right at the end, we were much better than the last time. We only ran that car one time. That was last year at that same
after
race.
After the conversion.
Yeah, no, this is a different car. The tour car, we haven't raced it in a year.
Wow.
It's just been sitting. So it hasn't been testing. We haven't done anything. We just went back and, we were 8/10 faster when we went back.
Wow.
So it was a big improvement. We were competitive at least. But it's a tough, Southwest Tour is not an easy class to be dabbling in. You kind of got to get
either you got to go
serious.
All
yeah.
in or
yeah,
all out.
So, hopefully I'm going to go to Tucson this weekend. That's my
nice.
Plan. So
nice. And they got a turkey track going on
down
there.
Yeah, turkey shoot or something.
Turkey
so,
shoot.
Yeah, 125 laps, 4,000 to win.
Are you racing it?
Yeah.
With the late model or
super
the super late?
Late?
Late
Super,
model
my
conversion.
Car. Yeah, no, my car.
Your car.
Yeah. So Jim has his cars. I have my car. So So yeah, we're going to try to go down there and have some fun. So get through Thanksgiving, survive Thanksgiving, and then go down there and race this weekend.
Yeah. Thanksgiving.
It was either that or Havasu. I think that's where Mark's going. Havasu runs too. So
headed down to Havasu.
Yep. Taking the late model Havasu. It's
taking
their,
the late model down there. Yeah.
It's the start of their winter series.
Right.
They have a, they run 4 days, six races. Two of them are double headers.
Wow.
So it's that's a fun little track. I'm trying to talk Fane to coming in to some of the other races down there. It's a tough little track to pass on, but it's fun. It's a place to go race.
You've raced Havasu thing?
Oh, yeah. I've won there many times.
And
I ran there in the 90s.
Why not?
Because I want to go to Tucson. Even though it's a lot further of a drive, but we're going to, you know.
Yeah, that's an eight-hour tow down there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But it's okay. I'm used to it.
How many laps is the...
It's 125. What are you running, Mark?
I think it's 100.
100, yeah.
100, so there you go. People want to go to Tucson.
Yep. Mark will be done racing on the way home before we ever even start. So.
Mark was on the way home. When we're up in RMR, he likes to get out and beat the church traffic.
Yeah.
The church traffic. That's why they don't race on Sunday up there.
That's right.
Yep.
I ran there a lot, and they do not race on Sundays. They don't care if they get rained out or what. They don't race on Sundays. They race on Mondays, but not on Sundays.
So when is series for you down there in four?
It's 4 days.
Six races.
There's two of them are twin 50 main events.
Wow.
Oh.
And that starts when?
This Saturday.
This Saturday?
This Saturday. I think there's one race this year and the other three.
Are scheduled next year. You ran this last year for Scheidecker.
Yeah.
Also.
We've been running that series for probably 4 years now. He treats me really good down there. I like racing there. It's not that far to drive. Even the night races, we drive home. It's not that bad.
Four races.
Six races.
Six races. Four days.
4 days.
I'm still confused.
The thing that made going to Idaho and racing was their rules were exactly the same as Havasu's.
That made it easy. Did any other anybody else come up from Havasu to go run on Idaho?
No. It worked out because my engine builder's from up there, and I've got friends up there. So
I'm the only idiot that comes from here to state line to race, other than him. And I had to tow all the way there every time. So it's 19-hour drive towing. So.
Wow. Yeah. That's a whole day and a half.
Yeah.
You break it up in two trips. And
yeah, I would drive from here to Missoula, which is like 930 miles straight through. And then my crew would fly to Missoula, and I'd pick them up in Missoula.
Right.
Drive the
really?
Other. Yeah.
Hey,
drive
guys,
for 4 hours.
Questions from Mark.
Yeah.
Well, send your crew and you fly.
They went up there one time. They got there a day early, went fishing, and, you know, while I was driving.
You roll in stressed. Tired.
I'm not stressed, but I don't get stressed driving.
And then they just jump in the truck all happy with the cooler. And
yep. Mm-hmm.
Hey, how you doing? We had a great day.
Yeah.
Did you want some
trout?
Fish?
Yes, I was jealous, but oh well.
Hey, Thane, maybe next time you should bring your fishing pole in.
Yeah.
You need to take lessons from Mark. Send your crew up there, and then you fly up there.
Yeah.
Have them pick you up.
You're right. But he has a luxury I don't.
Here, how about you haul his car up there for him and he'll fly up there.
Okay. Hey, that's fine with me.
It's a beautiful drive. I mean,
it's
amazing up there.
I did fly once. I got to fly once. When we raced there 4 years in a row. So, and back then it was a 3-day show. So you'd race 100 lapper on Friday, 100 lapper on Saturday, and 200 on Sunday.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a long weekend. So, but yeah, the first time we went, we took four cars. Yeah, that was a lot of work.
Four drivers or just backup cars?
Four drivers, four
really?
Cars.
Yeah. Who went with you?
Jim Wolfenstein, Rick Taylor, the guy that owns my car.
Right.
And Wade Fry, which is Wolfie's friend up there. Yeah, so and me.
So, hauler?
One hauler. Jim has a four-car hauler four cars, three pit boxes. It was stacked full. I mean, it was.
I can imagine.
Mark was there. He spotted for Rick. We got in a stock car racing or some magazine when we were loading up because they were impressed that we fit all that in that trailer. So, and that was a long weekend. I was glad to get out of there. I was tired. I didn't care if I won. I did win one night, but it was a long, long weekend.
You ever run that, Mark?
What's that?
You ever run that up there at Idaho?
Not that, not the race that Thane did. That, what is it? The Idaho 200.
Idaho 200, yeah.
Idaho 200.
It's like a super late model SRL type car.
Okay.
And mine's just a late model, so I didn't run that race. But that track, it's a fun track. It really is. It's got some good banking in it. It's got,
how big is it?
It's a big quarter, would you say, Thane?
Yeah, a third mile. I'd say it's a third.
Yeah. It's a big quarter, small third. I don't know exact footage, but. You run just a little more gear than you run at Vegas.
Really?
Yeah.
More gear.
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah, just a little. I think we ran 6.0 when we ran there.
Yeah, that's what I ran, 6.0.
Well, going to change lanes again here. Irwindale's closing.
Yeah, so they say.
So they say?
Sixth time they said this.
Yeah. You hear of any rumors, somebody coming in? I mean, last time it was who, Toyota? Came into
I think that was two times ago. I don't know. I haven't heard. I asked somebody at the tour race last weekend, and there's rumors that it won't close again. So some problem with that land where they want to develop it and they can't. So
Environmental Protection Association.
Yeah.
EPA.
Yeah.
Well, open the pocketbook.
That's, you know, paying off any EPA supervisor.
Six zeros too many for me.
That's all. That's all. If it does close, where do you think the divisions are going to head, guys? Open question.
Well, most of them probably go to Kern. Yeah.
Kern.
Yeah. Because the only thing you have down there is Orange Show.
Right.
Which then most of them guys don't like the little track. So they'll go to Kern or they'll go to Madera's. Getting a lot of cars, so
that's where you've heard the fluctuation is going up to Madera.
Yeah, nowhere else to go. Here,
Las Vegas. Yeah, Madera's
that's their problem.
Madera's gained a lot of popularity the way they groomed that track. Where most of the time it's got two grooves. It's a real racy track. Real well run organization up there. I mean, the pits are spacey. You know, it's a good place. It's a really fun place to race.
You've run up there,
yeah,
a number of times, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And your success
with
the modified, I take it.
That's, I got my best finish in the modified there. I got a 12th there, I think. That's what we finished. But yeah, it's a fun track. I like racing that track. Not that bad of a drive, really. There's worse drives. Idaho.
I don't know. I hate towing in California. They're stupid towing laws.
Oh, the 55 mile an hour,
yeah,
on the trailer.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, when we're used to doing 70 around here.
Yeah.
That's real kick in the ass. Turn another, put another hour on the tow into California from 3 to 4 hours. That's for sure. Well, you know what? I think we're in time for a break here. And, we'll talk more with Mr. Mark Allison and Thane Alderman after the break.
I'm Thane Alderman, and you're listening to On Wheels Now.
I'm Mark Allison, and you're listening to OnWheelsNow.com.
BomberNation.com is your website for all the latest local racing news. If you are a race car owner, a driver, or a passionate fan of racing, the BomberNation.com is the site you'll want to add to your favorites list. Check out the message board, track schedules, special events, links, and our sponsors. The Bomber Nation, one sport under one nation. TheBomberNation.com.
Gentlemen!
sound of On Wheels Now every Tuesday at 6 p.m.
If you like cars,
the smell of gasoline and rubber,
or just love motorsports and auto racing,
On Wheels Now is your inside look at local motorsports. So don't miss the action. We'll keep you in the loop with the latest local racing news.
We're race car drivers too, so join me, Michael.
And Mike, Tuesday at 6 p.m. Find us at onwheelsnow.com.
Nevada Pick Apart.
Who?
Nevada Pick Apart. Do you have a used car or a truck just sitting in the driveway taking up space, looking ugly and tired of looking at it? Are you moving and can't take your car or truck with you? Did you buy a new car or truck and want to get rid of the old one? Contact Nevada Pick Apart, 702-644-1881. That's 702-644-1881. Sell Nevada Pick Apart, your used or old vehicle, and see it gone tomorrow.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
And we're back with the world famous Mr. Thane Alderman and Mark Allison, our superhero. But Thane just doesn't like that. Well, I tell you, your boy here, Gary, labeled you with that.
Yeah, I know. It's on the internet.
It's on the internet?
Yeah. Where? If you search my name, it comes up on the internet. Yeah.
Who put that up there?
That would be you.
Nope, I didn't do that. Nope.
What? It comes up under On Wheels Now? Is that how they, is it the world famous?
I've never looked it up. I don't know. I just heard from other people.
I have nothing to do with promoting his website. You got to talk to Mike and Gary, and if it says world famous Thane Alderman, I'm pretty sure Gary puts the updates who's coming in. Is Superhero on there now too, Mr. White?
Not yet.
Yeah,
we're going to work on that.
Not yet. Thane, your plans for next year?
I have no plans.
You have no plans. Working with Wolfie again?
Yep. Whatever Jim wants to do. And I think you were going to run all the double main nights at Kern. And then they're supposed to have three tour races, Southwest tour races there. And that's pretty much what he told me. And then he'll dabble with the dirt car stuff at Pahrump.
That's what Wolfie wants to do?
Yeah.
So then and yourself?
Then that will leave me open to do what I can do. So then I have to look at the schedules when they come out. I only have a couple things that I want to, bucket list races.
Yeah.
I want to go to Montana.
Okay, yeah, share them with us.
Montana 200, it's in July. It looks like a fun track and never raced there. So, like anywhere I haven't raced, trying to get off on the West Coast, I'll never catch Mark on tracks he's been to, but.
Well, Mark's old.
Yeah, not so much older than me, but he is older than me.
Mark's old, we know that.
He just raced a lot more. So with the dirt cars, you've been to a lot more tracks, but
okay, the Montana.
I'm at 30. I'm at 30 tracks and you're at what, Mark?
I think we made 51 or 2 this year.
Yeah. So
wow.
And I'm at 30, so I don't think I'll ever catch him.
Oh, you never know.
No, I'm pretty sure I won't.
Okay, Montana 200, what else? What else is on your bucket list?
That's all I have on my bucket list right now. So just want to get back in the car, and I only ran once since I got my new motor. So I finished 6th in Idaho in June. So I haven't ran the car since then.
So you fit your racing schedule around Wolfie, where he wants to go in his time and what you will pick and choose.
Anywhere, but I'll go with, I don't really care for the dirt tracks, but I like watching them. I don't like working on it.
Yeah, you never were a fan of dirt.
No, I'm a fan of dirt. I love watching dirt car racing. Yeah. I just don't like working on the cars.
I can't tell you how many years I've tried to get him in my dirt mod. And he could pass me in tracks real easy with that car because there's plenty of dirt tracks around.
Yeah. Jim says the same thing. But
what is it that – we'll dig here. What is it that keeps you away
the
from
dirt.
Driving dirt?
The
what?
Dirt all over the car,
they're soap, man.
And you're ripping pieces off every time you drive it, and I just despise that.
I got Mark shaking his head. No. Come on, What is there something deeper? It just.
Oh yeah, it's deeper. It's way deeper. I think he would have so much fun. He'd throw them pavement cars away and go dirt racing. That's the only way I can describe it. Dirt racing isn't so technical.
No.
It's more about wheeling the car. And Thane's one of the best drivers I've ever raced.
Yeah,
against.
That's a, you know, I mean, I.
He'd
I
be
would
a natural.
He would. It took the words out of my mouth. That's what I figure. He'd be a natural. The way he handles a car on pavement.
Have you ever tried it?
Yeah. I've raced dirt. I've just never. First race I ever won was on the dirt.
In what, though?
In a street stock or factory stock.
In prompt?
Yeah.
In prompt?
Yeah. And first time I ever went there, I won.
Wow.
Didn't know I won. The checkered flag came out because I didn't. I remember Doug Rota. He ran a Chevelle, and he was leading, and I didn't even see him, and he spun out. I didn't know he spun out. And I was just trying to stay between the wall and the infield. That's all I was trying to do.
And
next thing I know, checkered flag comes out. I'm like, what? And then they're pointing at me, and it's like, oh, I didn't even know I won. So
how old were you then?
Probably 20, 21.
20, 21.
I didn't start until I was 19, so.
Okay. I didn't start until last week myself, so.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
You ran one race
in Havasu. I ran an enduro at Havasu.
Havasu used to be a dirt track.
It used to be dirt, yeah. In the early 90s, we ran there. And in enduro, there was 99 cars.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it was crazy.
In a street stock.
In a factory stock,
Factory stock.
Yeah, well, it was pretty open, the rules.
But run what you run.
Yeah, pretty much. And it was red flag and red or green.
Red
like
or
no
green.
Caution.
Yeah.
And then Jerry Green, he was called the Mad Bumper when I was a kid. He was
Mad Hatter.
Mad Bumper.
Mad Bumper.
Yeah. He had a push car with all these lights on it and everything. And if you broke down on the track, he would just knock you off the track. That was his job, and to keep you the track clear. So, and I think I made it.
That sounds like Terry McConnell back in the day with his frigging Cadillac.
Yeah. So, Mark probably raced against Jerry, didn't you, Craig Rose?
Yes, I started my career racing against Jerry Green.
Yeah.
He was the
character.
Guy to beat.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's my extent. And I did run once on the half mile in the X car and that Gary had. After
the
LTD.
The LTD?
Yeah.
But other than that, absolutely.
I've never drove a real race car on the dirt. No.
No desire to go faster or, you know, to get in modified. I mean, you got Mark here offering you fantastic modified.
I have other people offer me cars
and
too.
Say, oh, yeah. I could imagine. There must be 100 people out there that know you that would love to put you in a car. You know, they'd love to put you in anything, anywhere.
Yeah.
So you go race the dirt, and we'll get Justin to wash the car for you.
Yeah,
I can agree to that. I'll agree to that. Just try a real car one. The bomber, racing the bomber on dirt was one thing. Then I jumped in a dwarf car, which is a completely different world.
Yeah.
And I had more fun in that dwarf car than I ever did the bomber. So you got to try a real race car at least once on the dirt.
Well, I didn't say I wouldn't. I just haven't.
Then take Mark up.
Mark don't have a car anymore.
No, I still have the dirt mod. I had
to get out of it. But you just, it's a matter of, I mean, obviously, without going to say you two guys are the most cleanest drivers out there. And is that what upsets you most? Is tearing the equipment up or other people sliding into you? Because dirt, you slide. Okay, there is no hit the brakes, stop.
Well, I don't
like
mind
payment.
If you go to a real dirt track. I don't consider Pahrump a real dirt track.
Okay.
if you go where they really race dirt cars, like Ventura, even Paris,
right.
Watsonville,
right.
Antioch, Petaluma, they'll go. Them guys never touch each other. They race side by side and they never even touch each other. Out here,
they run them in records.
Yeah, they just run into each other. So
there is some truth that some tracks they race pretty
well, and it has a lot to do with the track.
Right.
I mean, those tracks up there, Antioch, I don't know if Mark, that's the only track I've ever been to that gets wetter. The tide came in and it got wetter.
Right.
It got sloppier as the night went along. And I was just dumbfounded because I was there for a World Outlaws show.
Right.
And I'd never seen a track do that before.
Wow.
It got faster as the night went on, not slower.
Tackier.
Yeah.
Just a little, just the moisture coming up from underneath it. Just, it's clay, obviously, to get it tackier. But wow, self-watering track.
Yeah.
It sure is the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once the breeze starts coming in off the ocean, the tide comes up.
So there you go. Running those tracks, figuring a set out. You look at weather conditions, you look at air, you got to look at the tide level. That's something.
I'm sure that local knowledge helps there.
Yeah, I guess so. Mark, yeah?
Yeah, I got my butt kicked at Ventura. Well, I finished third, but we were fast in the heat race, and I told Dan, free this thing up when the thing's going to go dry slick. Oh. When I went out for the main event, I'm like, I didn't see the water truck pull out there. Where did this come from? Everybody's like, oh, if you freeze that thing or tighten that thing up, you're in trouble. I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, boy. Surprises. There you go. One surprise, you know. Other tracks you guys go to. Surprises. Tell us some stories. Think about it.
I'm trying to remember the animal. We were at Altamont once. The ostriches.
Ostriches?
Ostriches came on the track.
Ostriches.
Yeah, like the race for ostriches. Yeah.
That's like the sheep down in Boulder City.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing. Big old ostriches walking through the pits. Like, what in the heck is going on? But it was free range, and
right.
The guy that owned the land, that was what he had. It was ostriches.
Ostriches.
Yeah.
You encountered this far?
No.
This is the first I've ever heard of it. I've heard a lot of stories here, but I've never heard of ostriches strolling through the pits.
I can hear him now telling Thane, hey, we got to stop the race. There's ostriches walking by.
Yeah.
Thane's like, what the hell are you smoking?
Throw the red. Ostriches. Why are you thinking about that, Mark? Your plans, besides Havasu for the winter series down there running late model, four races, 4 days, six races.
I got it right. Finally got it right.
Yeah, it's on their website for anybody that's interested in seeing when they are. I can't remember the dates, but I just have to look at the schedule. Work's got me real busy, so between work and racing, I got to figure out what's most convenient for me.
That's a nice life. Hey, Al, would you like that thing? Wouldn't you like that?
I don't have much different than that, so. My work's pretty good about that too. Like, oh, I'm going to take off this weekend or, you know, Friday and go race. So
that's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. You guys set up like that.
I've got, Jack Johnson, the off-road racer.
Right.
He's kind of my backup guy at the project I'm on. So,
oh man. Oh man. So watch my back. I'll watch yours.
Yeah. So if I might need to take off, go race, and Jack's got me covered.
Excellent. Even though this experience this past year chasing after this car, Mark, the 515 modified, you leaning towards getting back to dirt, or are you gonna spend another year trying to figure this puppy up?
We're gonna continue to race it. Dana and I've been talking. Dana Stahl built the car. He thinks he'll have some more time to come down here and help me. So we'll fly him down to some of the races, I think, and see how it works out. We'll do a little. I only did one test session with the car.
Right.
I would say if you took the Lucas series, everybody that competed in all the races, I probably put less hot laps down than anybody. I bought less tires than anybody. I actually ran the same tires at Kern and Irwindale. No one did that.
Really?
I ran 150 laps. We were so far out to lunch after Kern without the horsepower. You know,
yeah, right.
At Irwindale, being down 150 horsepower, new tires weren't going to help me.
No.
And I just told Roseanne and Scheidecker, I said, I'm just going to run on the used tires. I'm not spending $600 on tires to fill the field out and be a field filler. That just wasn't going to happen. So
we had spoke last time, you know, about the tires and how the Lucas Oil Modifieds go about selling their tires. Do you foresee any change in the rule as far as purchasing tires, showing up at the racetrack day early, where you qualify, where you are in points with the modified process?
Yeah, I finished 15th in the points this year, and I ran all the main events but one, the first one. I didn't qualify straight in. I didn't have the points, so I didn't get a provisional for that one.
Right.
I qualified in all the – well, I take that back.
at Madera one race, I had to run a B main.
Okay.
I transferred out of the B. The rest of them we qualified in. Being in the top 20 in points for the first race makes a difference if you're going to commit to it. See, like this next year when they start off, I'm guaranteed a starting spot. Doesn't matter where I qualify.
Top 20.
Yeah. So
okay.
If something were to happen and I didn't qualify in, I get to start. Well, missing that first main event at Havasu put me far enough behind in points. I probably would have finished, I might have made the top 10. I didn't look to see exactly where I was at.
Right.
But, yeah, that missing one race.
You have to run all the races.
Yeah,
there is no choice with that division. That's how strong that division is.
As far as the tires, I don't think they're going to change anything. They're happy with that tire. The way it's set up, it works for them. You know, it generates revenue for the series. It does a lot of things.
Right.
The two-day shows, I think, will stay in place. It was explained to me because that was one of the things I said, why do we do this? Well, you want to save money. It's monetarily driven.
Right.
The two-day shows for each track, that's another day's worth of pit passes and concessions
right.
and stuff that the people get.
Hotels.
Yeah, they want the two-day shows. So I don't foresee anything changing. I did hear some rumors that the NorCal series, which is the same rules except for a different tire,
right,
is thinking of going to that same 700 tire that the Lucas series is on.
You think that'll the NorCal series? You think that'll draw Lucas Oil series? Will draw some of them cars down into?
Yeah, they do.
The
Madera race draws. They had a combination race at Madera where they ran the NorCal cars and the Lucas cars. They qualified separate. They ran their main event separate.
Right.
A couple of guys jumped back and forth to both series, but they ran their tire in their car. And they had a good car count in both. Well, that's the one I had to run a B main in.
Okay.
So,
okay. You think of running some of those tracks up there that the NorCal runs on?
That's what Dana said. He'd like me to bring the car up there and run some of the tracks, you know, make it more convenient for him to work with me. And,
where is Dana Stahl at? He's
up in the Lakeport area, up Northern California.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's like going to Idaho pretty much.
But you get to fly. Dana gets to tow. 19 hours.
Lakeport's not that far, thank God.
It's like 800 miles, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Oh, piece of cake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drop in the bucket.
800. These guys, we talk about towing an hour and a half to wherever. 8 hours down to Tucson ain't nothing. And these guys are towing 18, 19 hours all the way to friggin' Idaho. Where's Montana? Did you figure out those? You were talking
about
the Montana
as, it'll be probably
200.
Yeah, that's in Kalispell. So that's... it's 15, so it's probably 17 hours, 17 and a half, something like that.
Wow. You need to talk to your buddy here about airfare sponsorship.
Right.
Yeah.
We always said that. I wish we could put these cars on a cargo plane and fly them there.
You know.
Drive them out if we had that kind of money.
There you go. You know, well, just you know, get your crew to drive it up to Montana and say sorry, guys, but Mark Allison sponsored me plane tickets to Montana. I'll see you when I get there.
Yeah, Allegiant flies there for like $31 or some crazy thing like that.
I never heard of the place. Is there an airport?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
If Allegiant goes there, there's an airport some way.
Beautiful country. Beautiful country up there.
Yeah, God's country.
By Flathead.
I haven't been up there myself, but
Flathead Lake. Gorgeous up there.
Yep. Good fishing. See?
Yeah, probably.
Go 2 days early, go fishing, and then wait at the track for your car to come in.
I've planned many a vacation around races. So.
Oh, yeah. I think, I'm sure a lot of people have.
Yeah.
You know, like the big rigs that come down out of Canada here at the Bull Ring. These guys take 2 weeks, and their wives absolutely love it. And nothing like, we're going to Las Vegas. They jump on board. There were several of them I spoke to. They plan their 2 weeks around coming down here in March and April.
Yeah, you can't get that going to Montana, though. The women don't really care about going to Montana as much as Las Vegas.
I don't know.
The excitement level is a little different.
What's popular up there? Moose hunting?
Sightseeing, that's about it.
I don't think you're going to have any problem with ostriches running through the
forest. No, elk, buffalo,
You don't want to hit a buffalo.
No.
No, buffalo. There you go. That must be a sight to see.
They have buffalo sanctuary up there. So.
I think Thane experiences the same problems I'm running into. As we get older, our crew's older. It's kind of harder for him to do the long tows nowadays. And, getting time off of work.
Yeah,
you
it's
know,
hard.
Things like that. It
yeah.
just becomes a little harder as you get older. It's not quite
yeah,
so
it
easy.
Does. Yeah,
that's for sure.
The
it's
mind,
harder just to find people to go
the mind,
that can
help.
Take time off work
yeah.
and take time away from their family.
It's
hard.
So the will is there, the mind's there. Are you trying to say the body is just putting it all together anymore at getting older? It's a little tougher?
A little bit. I'll be 60 in January. But
God bless you, man.
The only thing I steer away from is real rough dirt tracks with the dirt car. Because I'll be honest with you, sometimes if the car, you know, you've seen the road tracks where they kind of bounce through the corners.
Oh, yeah, Rut City.
The next day, my back will hurt. They'd be like, man, I ain't
yeah.
doing that again.
Yeah, I can honestly,
you know what I'm
identify with that.
Yeah.
You know, come this past May, party was pretty much over. Just trying to heal myself now. And we don't heal as quick as we used to. But getting back on the road, it getting crew to take time off and basically to tow your vehicles and spend the time. You know, you're talking 18-hour drives. That's 2 days there. Okay, 2 days back.
Yep.
You want to be at the track for 2 days. So that's a minimum of 7 to 8 days you want to take off. One
yep.
day to prep to get it loaded. And
it's an expensive hobby.
Yeah.
So,
yes, it is.
You got to have good people on both ends. Good people helping you. Good people helping you get there, too. So it's definitely hard. It's not like it used to be. It used to be a lot easier. I remember turning crew members away in the
really?
Early 2000s. Yeah. But,
really?
Yeah. You could just weed through them and keep the good ones.
Right.
Now, you just take anybody, just a person.
And you think the economy took a shit and took all these people away from you. I mean, you're talking 05, 08, you know,
yeah.
everything went to hell then. And people just.
People don't like working
there.
Hard anymore.
Yeah. You know, Thane, that's a perfect point.
It's hard work.
There's no doubt about that.
They just
to
need
find,
to hand
find a person to think 24/7 racing.
Yeah.
It's harder and harder. I think you two guys, you know, one of the few that are left, you know. I mean, there's a lot out there. I mean, Pat Petrie, you know, no doubt about it. You know, Wolfenstein, Jim, he's got to be up there in age also. You know, I don't like using the term, but the dinosaurs are
yeah
disappearing.
Or dying breed.
That work ethic, that, okay, we're off work at 3 o'clock and we're on the car at 3:30. You know,
if you look what's available to the kids that are growing up now, they would rather go play soccer and get a participation award.
Yeah.
Than work on a bandolero every night right. after school. And, you know, it's like Thane said, it's a lot of work and a lot of effort
and a lot of money.
Yeah. And for the parents. In short track stock car racing, there's no participation trophies. You win or you lose. Basically. The
yeah.
second place guy's always been called the first loser.
Right.
So these younger kids are growing up with a whole different mindset. They don't want to put out the work ethic that Thane and I grew up.
No, there's a lost work ethic, I'll tell you, out there. And it's just not in racing.
No, it's everywhere.
You know, people are looking for just handouts out there. All there is to it. You know, bottom line, you know, you got people out there that own $1,000 phones. Just look up how much YBT or food stamps that they can get today. Ooh. So it's a handout disposable society, unfortunately. You know, it's guys like you that have endured the hobby for so long and put your hearts into it. You'll continue to do it until you do break your back, unfortunately.
Yeah, but that reflects on our personal lives. How long have you been at Yesco?
Be 30 years in February.
30 years.
I've been in my industry 39 years.
I've been out here in 18 years, and I've been at my job for 12.
And
I'm sure loyalty means a lot.
Yeah. I'm sure that Yesco, the same thing like Thane said earlier, you know, they'll let him take the time off to race. My company will let me take the time off to race. You know, they put a huge value in us and our work
yes,
ethic.
Yes, you took the word out of my value.
Yeah,
you know, you put in that much time. They know, you know, when it comes down to working loyalty, they know at crunch time, they could call you at 2 a.m. in the morning and fix that sign or work on that bridge and make sure it's done properly, and you'll stay with it until it's done. And you've proven that over the 30 some odd years that you've worked for them. You can make that phone call and say, you don't call in sick. Okay. You just don't. You'll go year, 2 years, 3 years without calling in sick. But when you do call in sick, they know you're sick. You know, today it's like a job interview. How much sick leave do I get? How much vacation do I get? How much do you pay? It's not that, yeah. What can I do for you? It's what can you do for me today? And it's unfortunate.
That reflects into our racing.
Correct.
You know, there are some kids. I noticed I was talking to RJ Smotherman's dad, and you know, there's kids that have that desire.
There's a few.
But,
yep.
Yeah. They're out there.
Oh yeah. They're out there.
Yeah. I mean, not as many, like you say, a number of years ago.
Yeah.
You could pick a list of people who want to work for you in your pit.
Yeah.
They're out there. They're just not as many.
Yep. Yeah. Very few.
As he was saying with RJ. I'm sorry.
Oh, just he seems to enjoy himself. He likes it. He's got the dedication. I haven't worked around him, but I know his dad instills that same work ethic.
Right. And there's, you know, I don't mean to dismiss everybody. There's a number out there, and I'm sure you could, you know, list these kids that are out there that are working side by side with their dad or working side by side with their crew chief, wanting to know what's going on with whether a shock, a bump stop, or an air pressure, so they can get themselves better. They have a sense of value. They have a work ethic and have been taught that by their parents.
I would say, in credit to both Kurt and Kyle Busch, their dad instilled that work ethic in them on them race cars. He made them work on them. He made them learn about them. You know, I hear so many of these kids that think, well, if I can win at the Bullring, you know, I'll follow in Kurt or Kyle Busch's footsteps. If you don't get that work ethic like they were taught,
right,
you're not going to have a prayer.
No, not at all.
Unless you got $60 million, then you can.
Yeah.
Is that what it costs to run a series today, NASCAR series? I was wondering, you know, I remember 20 years ago, a main sponsor, and this was 20 years ago, a main sponsor put name on a car, run the season, $7 million. Any idea what that number is today?
30.
Yeah, 30
million. Main sponsor.
Yeah.
Just off.
That's why there is not very many of them.
Off the top of the head, ABC Refrigeration.
Yeah.
Got to come in with $30 million to sponsor, main sponsor to run those races for the season. And that's one car. Wow.
Yep.
Oh, well. I'm minus money. I'm not going to make it.
You're going to need more than a paper route.
Just a little bit more, huh?
Yeah, you might need two paper routes, JJ.
Maybe three.
All right, Mark, again, back pedal. Dana Stahl up there in Northern California, NorCal series possibility.
That's a possibility. We may take the car up there and run a few races just to help me sort it out.
Right. And that's over the winter or no? That's
just
it'll be beginning of next February,
year,
March.
Next year.
Before the Lucas Oil starts.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Thane, you want to thank anybody out there? Mr. World Famous? Anybody who helped you become world famous?
Oh. Mark helped.
Did.
Yeah. I used to have a list on my car of all the people that helped me. There's too many to say. There's a lot of people.
Just a few of them. Go ahead. You know,
well, right now,
We got 5 minutes. It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can bring up one of your sponsors over there, Steve Burke.
Nevada Pickle Bar.
Yeah. He, when I ran yours, I mean, he helped me a ton, and he's helped Mark a ton.
Right.
And Gary a ton, and you.
He's still helping me a ton.
Yes.
Yeah.
That Lucas Modified I've got came from him, kind
of. Because of those frames.
Yeah.
The front ends, right?
Yeah.
The front clips.
Yeah.
The frame that he had over there, that started that whole.
He did the same thing for me. I have a Modified. I've never finished it, but. And I did the same thing. I went to Steve. He gave me cars. I cut the clips off.
And put it together.
And they loaded them up and took them to chassis builder in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And we traded the front clips for the car, for the race car.
Wow.
So I did, because they couldn't find the frames back there because they're all rusted out.
Right.
So yeah. Now they make them stamp steel. Now they're remaking them, but back then they didn't. So.
And how long ago was this?
Oh.
Why are you going to make him feel old?
It was in the early 90s.
Oh, okay. And then
Mark took a page from your book and did it all over again.
He's got a brand new 20-year-old car.
Yeah, brand new. Never been finished. About 80% done.
Old new stock.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I harass him about building that and racing it, too. He needs to get that thing going.
Anybody else? Nevada Pick Apart, Steve Burke.
Right now, just... Jim Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein.
He helps me a ton.
Wolfenstein Construction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Desert Promotions and Schaefer Oil. They've been helping me for the last 5 years, giving me oil products and stuff.
Okay.
And
yes,
which I've been, my work.
Yeah.
They used to sponsor me. Well, they used to sponsor me. They haven't in a while, but. Other than having employment, so
yeah,
which is good.
We got a job.
Yep,
and we can go racing.
Yep. So,
yeah,
and thank my wife for putting up with me, up with this hobby. We'll be married 20 years next year. So
congratulations.
Yeah,
so. That's absolutely fantastic. You don't hear that anymore. Very, it's become disposable, unfortunately, but that's great. Fantastic, Mark. Who you want to thank out there besides Gary?
K&N still helps me out. Hypercoil Springs helps me out. Speedway Engineering helps me out. They're the usual standbys. And, of course, the company I work for has given me the time off when I need it to go racing. They've been great to me.
Okay. Very good. And, of course, like Nane said, Nevada Pick Apart.
Oh, Steve. If you've raced a car in this area, you've gotten help from Steve Burke at some time or another.
One way or another.
And then even when I raced him, whatever you needed to go out and beat him.
Yeah, that's, true racer, that's something that, we don't discuss it that much, but racers help each other. True racers help each other because they want to beat you out on the track, not in the pits. I'd rather work on somebody else's car and that's broken and get it back out there on the track. And that's something we haven't spoken about, that's something good for future stories, who we've helped out in our life in the pits to get them back out there. And, then they go out and beat our ass. I'm sure that's happened a number of times, with you guys, but, nobody ever wants to beat anybody while in the pits. That's for sure.
Yeah. Dane and I loaned and borrowed back and forth stuff for so long.
Yep. Mark, I need this. You have this? Yep. You have this? Yep. Whatever.
Yep.
Whatever it takes.
I think Gary still owes you a couple spring rivers, doesn't he?
Probably.
Nope. Nope. I've repaid him all. Every one of them.
I don't believe that one bit.
I swear I took every
one
of them.
I was there when he bought them and put them in the truck and brought them to the moment. That's for sure. Well, paid all them in. Mark Allison, thank you very much for coming in. Justin Griffith. You just spent another hour with us at onwheelsnow.com. We will be back next Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Mr. Gary Wyatt, the man behind the engineer board, thank you. Hopefully you'll see Mr. Mikey Ruffer back next week. Guys, thanks a lot for coming in. Have a good night.
Listen.